You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, my name is Lenya. I had COVID in October and lost my sense of smell and sense of taste and have been gradually getting it back. But the weirdest thing has started happening in the last like 2 weeks. Anytime I smell or taste anything with a fake fruit flavor, my mouth tastes like burnt hair and condoms, like latex. I really can't figure it out. It's stressing me out. Thanks.
Hello.
Hey, Lenya. It's Flora from ELT.
Hi, Flora.
How are you?
I'm so good.
Really? Good for you. Walk me through your smell situation. When did it all start?
Okay, so in October, I got COVID, and pretty quickly after having the standard symptoms of fever and aches, I completely lost my sense of smell and taste.
What was that like?
It was really disorienting. It reminded me of like when you take like a daytime cold pill and you kind of just feel like you're in a bubble from the rest of the world, where you just kind of feel like disconnected. And then over time, I started to get things back on this like spectrum. So flavors that I had previously identified as one singular flavor or smell, like garlic, I now know I only taste one piece of that flavor. And it's this garlicky umami richness, but I don't get that like piercing, almost acidic part of garlic.
When did the smell switching happen?
So that just happened, I want to say, in like late December, early January.
So like a couple months after you got COVID.
Yeah. So I had a lot of my smell faculties back. And then all of a sudden, stuff that smelled or tasted fruity started tasting like latex and burnt hair. It was so weird. This was full on phantom flavors. Like, I don't know where that came from.
What kind of foods trigger it?
Definitely gummy bears. My roommate is super sweet. And he was like, well, I'm going to the store. I'll get you whatever you want. And he brought me home this like giant container of gummy bears. And I was like so excited. And then I eat the first one and I was like, oh, damn it. It was just pure burnt hair.
Ugh. What about like fresh fruits?
Again, my very sweet roommate would make me like a smoothie with just frozen berries and banana, like no fake flavoring in it whatsoever. And that would just taste like balloon drink.
Balloon drink. Is that what
balloon
you said?
Balloon drink.
Like you're drinking out of a balloon.
Yeah. It's so gross.
That sucks.
Thank you. Because it does suck.
Have you talked to anyone else with COVID who has had this happen?
No. Everyone else I've talked to has lost their sense of smell or taste or whatever, but no one has had these like weird mutations of smell.
So what is it that you want to know?
Honestly, all this has brought up so much curiosity just about the way smell works. One, I would like to know more about this spectrum and what could cause that crazy phantom existence of a smell that I have never experienced otherwise in association with these flavors.
Okay, so we found, I think, just the person to answer your question, a real connoisseur of smell science.
This is so up my alley. My higher degree is in olfaction and the way that the sense of smell works.
That's Simon Gain. He's a rhinologist and ENT surgeon in London, and he has spent many, many years digging into noses to figure out how they work.
Hi, Lenya.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for looking into this.
So when COVID hit and patients started reporting loss of smell or anosmia, Simon started sniffing around.
We tracked live the Google search terms for anosmia, and you could watch them take off. As the pandemic took off in a country, you could watch the search terms take off. That was sort of one argument that we've got to take this seriously as a symptom.
And in fact, Simon and his team were the first people to publish this link between loss of smell and COVID.
Wow.
No one had really sort of nailed it down that, you know, if you suddenly lost your sense of smell, that was COVID, almost 100% of the time.
Anyone that I had talked to really was the only way that they could tell that it was COVID and not something else.
The smell loss, because it's such a weird symptom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Simon says at least one out of four COVID patients experiences some smell loss.
Wow.
So for some people, it's short-lived. COVID causes congestion. It's like a clothespin on your nose. Smell goes away. Then you get unplugged. Smell comes back to play.
Got it.
For other people, the smell loss lingers longer, as you know from personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
And for those people,
instead of putting a clothes peg on your nose, you've now sort of killed all the nerves that are doing the work inside your nose.
I actually had heard that it's more of a nerve thing, but I guess I just didn't understand how those signals are sent, sent.
So here's how it works. You know the protuberance sticking off of the front of your face?
My nose?
Yeah, your nose.
Yeah.
Way up in it are millions of nerve cells, and each one has a receptor on it that's sensitive to certain odor molecules. And when one of those molecules wafts in and hits that receptor, the nerve cell sends a signal to the brain.
Okay.
If you've seen a random 1950s screwball comedy, this metaphor might help you picture it.
You can imagine this kind of like an old-fashioned switchboard with lights. So say it's the pink receptor. And when it's activated, it's the pink nerve. And the pink nerve switches on the pink light in the switchboard. And then the brain is looking at this and goes, okay, oh, I see the pink light and some other lights activating. So that must be the smell of rose, for instance.
Okay.
It's not as simple as one scent, one light. Real world stinks light up lots of lights.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Something like coffee is enormously complex.
It's chock full of thousands of odors. So when you're just waking up and you and your sexy big brother smell that coffee in your cup.
Ew.
What are you doing?
You're my present this year.
You can picture a very complicated light show on that switchboard.
It actually kind of makes the whole smell spectrum thing make more sense. Like one smell is probably many.
Yes, that is exactly right. And so for some people with COVID, the switchboard gets disconnected because the nerve cells stop working. And what researchers recently discovered is that COVID doesn't attack your nasal nerve cells directly. It goes after their helper cells.
The sustentacular cells.
Sustentacular, like sustenance?
Sustain, yeah, exactly. Their roles are providing nutrition to the cells and just basically allowing them to grow and function. So you can imagine you take those cells out, then the ones that are relying on them no longer work.
Oh, that's a real bummer. Sorry, guys.
And so when those nerves die off, you get anosmia, the loss of smell that you experienced in October.
Okay. So are you able to build these back and build new pathways or like regrow new cells?
Yes. That okay. is the good news. In some cases, noses bounce back.
Cool.
These noses are designed to be living in quite a hostile environment. So the body compensates for this by it being one of the few places in the body where the nerves can regenerate. There are stem cells essentially sitting in the olfactory mucosa. They're constantly making new nerve cells.
That's great. And also impressive.
Very impressive. It's like in the sci-fi movies where like your hand grows back in the future. That's happening in your nose right now, which is probably why you can smell again.
Yeah. But it doesn't really explain the weird phantom smells.
Right. Why are you smelling burnt hair and latex when you...
So weird.
...sniff a gummy bear or have a berry smoothie? It seems fishy.
Yeah.
So we asked Simon about it, and he knew exactly what you were talking about.
Oh, Simon.
This is something I've been researching since 2007.
Pre-COVID.
Way pre-COVID.
If COVID smell loss is up Simon's alley, this is parked in his driveway.
That's awesome.
And we'll hear all about it after the break. So, Lenya, you want to know why gummy bears smell like burning hairs?
Yeah.
So Simon said, first of all, there is a name for what you're experiencing.
What she's describing is something called parosmia, which means, you know, the sense of smell beside the smell. You're smelling something that's not the smell you should be smelling.
Parosmia with a P?
With a P, yeah.
Okay, got it.
So people sometimes report smelling the wrong smells after upper respiratory infections or head trauma, but COVID has made it much more common.
Okay.
And Simon has brand new hot off the presses findings to share about parosmia.
Ooh.
First of all, he's found that for a lot of people, parosmia seems to be triggered by certain things.
So it's often toothpaste, coffee, roasted meats or roasted food or fried food, garlic and onions. Those are the big ones.
None of those things for me.
Yeah, Simon was genuinely surprised by your Barry Blech reaction. But one wrinkle is that he found it wasn't toothpaste or garlic generally that was the problem. It was specific smells within those smells.
Yeah, so that was the big finding.
Simon's colleagues identified which parts of the smell were causing the problem by putting people with parosmia in a lab and bubbling different smells past their noses.
You can imagine you can boil off some coffee. And because every molecule that's coming off is of a different weight, if you could separate them by weight in some way, you could smell each molecule individually.
And that's exactly what they did. So using this stinky boiling bubble machine, Simon's colleagues were able to bring the main offenders to the surface.
And we found that the trigger molecules were the same molecule over and over again. They tended to be very powerful molecules that we have a low threshold for.
Mm.
So in other words, it doesn't take many of these molecules in your nose before it switches on the nerve and lights up your brain to say, I'm a coffee smell.
I mean, there has to be some component of fruit that smells like that or I'm crazy.
No, I think that's exactly it. Simon said if he bubbled off fruit, you'd also find some of these strong odors.
Yeah. So there are still some low threshold fruity smelling compounds. So that still fits.
The other thing Simon and his team found is that these trigger molecules generally prompted a kind of gag me with a spoon feeling.
So very often people with parosmia will talk about sewage or rotting vegetables or burnt is quite a common one as well.
But here's the weird thing. It wasn't exactly sewage or burning whatever.
When you ask, does it actually smell like that? They go, no, it just has that disgusting thing that you have when you smell rotting vegetables or raw sewage, that emotional component, what we call the hedonic component. It feels disgusting, even though it doesn't really smell of poo. It's something else that I can't describe. It's what they say over and over again.
Hmm. How does that compare with your experience?
I would say that the like latexy flavored condom balloon thing is pretty specific, and it does taste like it and smell like it.
Okay, so either way, whether it's specific or not, why is this happening? Why do grandma's cookies now smell like grandpa's slippers? Simon's theory has to do with the switchboard again. Studies have shown in mice that when a lot of nose nerves die, wires can get crossed when they grow back.
So my theory goes something like this. So you've cut all the wires to the switchboard, right? So there's nothing being switched on. And those cells are now regrowing. They're rewiring back to the switchboard again. But because so many of them have been chopped, they don't go in the right way. So the pink neuron might light up the pink light, but it also might send a couple to the yellow and maybe also light up purple sometimes, especially if you're also smelling something else at the same time. And they're giving a pattern that your brain doesn't recognize.
It's just routing to the wrong place.
Yeah, it's routing to the wrong place. And then the result of that is that the pattern on the switchboard is something your brain has never seen before. And Simon doesn't totally know why that would make you smell burnt hair or condoms. But he did float a theory.
This is very much a guess, but your brain automatically interprets a strong, novel pattern as being something that you should avoid. It's something about its novelty and the fact that it's just an uncontrolled mess of a signal that lights up your whole switchboard, and that is very unpleasant.
Oh my God, grow up, brain. I just feel like my brain is a toddler. It's like, that's not mac and cheese.
Well, this part of the theory is very hard to prove.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, obviously, human brains are pretty complex.
What are you still wondering about?
Right now, I'm curious if over time, those kinks will work out. I'm wondering if maybe I can eat gummy bears someday and enjoy them.
Yeah, I mean, we asked Simon and, you know, he can't tell you for sure what's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
But here's what we do know. Pre-COVID studies show that smell can improve for people with parosmia. And something called smell training can help.
I always talk about it as weightlifting for your nose, physiotherapy for your sense of smell. It's practicing with known recognizable smells every day, twice a day, just sniffing them and seeing what they smell like and identifying them and really pay attention to the feeling that evokes in your nose and in your brain, the memories it might evoke, what you're expecting to smell, what you do smell, those kind of things. And it's been solidly shown that this is very important in encouraging regeneration and improving sense of smell.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. But I'm kind of wondering if things are just going to be different. I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things that, like, once I get used to it over time, I'll reassociate it in a different way.
Yeah, so Simon said that can happen too. He talked to coffee drinkers who had smell loss.
So people will go through a lot for caffeine. They'll put up with, you know, drinking what's essentially just bitter water if you can't smell it all. But after a while, they start to describe what they call new coffee. It doesn't smell like it used to, but it smells like coffee to them now. And that's an interesting thing sort of philosophically. Is that the smell of coffee? Because it's the smell of coffee to them now, but it doesn't remind them in the same way of what the old smell of coffee did.
See, I can see coming around to a lot of it. Like I've gotten over it. Like, a lot of wines have a little bit of that latex just right on the back because they probably just have a heavy presence of, like, a fruit flavor in them. And that's, I've gotten over it. I hardly notice it anymore. You know, maybe it is a matter of, like, perspective.
Like, this isn't so bad.
Yeah. I just happen to like my wine a little bit balloony.
With balloon notes.
I can't wait to go to, like, a super fancy wine tasting and just tell them about the balloon notes. That sounds fun.
I mean, does it help at all to know that people care about how you smell?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it really does, though. I mean, having more background about what's happening to me helps me feel less helpless.
Yeah.
And some things have been coming back, but...
Let us know how it goes.
I will.
If those balloon notes go away, I want to hear about it.
Every Little Thing is produced by Hager Eldas, Caitlin O'Keefe, Stephanie Werner, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Scored by Bobby Lord, Emma Munger, and Dara Hirsch. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. ELT is a Spotify original podcast. You're my present this year. Goodbye.